All right. Welcome, everyone, to the Identity Implementers Working Group call for December 15th, 2022. Thanks all for joining us today. My name is Shar Howland, and I'm a co-moderator of this group with Tim Spring. Today, we will go over working group status updates and then hear a presentation from Dominic Syskowski on settlement of referrals on the blockchain. Since this is a Linux Foundation call, we are following the antitrust policy. And since this is a Hyperledger call as well, we are following the Hyperledger Code of Conduct. And both of those are linked here for more information. This call is being recorded and will be posted on this meeting page later today. And let's see, we've got a section for attendees. If you would like to put down your name for attending this call. We also take a moment for anybody new to the call to introduce themselves. Dominic, feel free to introduce yourself now and talk a little bit about your professional background and your work, or you can do so right before your presentation.
Whatever suits you better. So I can tell a bit about myself. So
sounds good.
Thank you for having me here. I'm Dominic Syskowski. I'm a consulting director in Espo, also a partner in the company. Espo Blockchain is a certified service provider. We are a professional services company. We build enterprise-grade solutions for the big clients from during today's presentation, I will show you two case studies of the clients that we of the project that we did. We are quite active in the Hyperledger Foundation, and especially we built solutions based on the Fabric, which I believe is a bit kind of side topic, taking into consideration this your working group, right?
Sorry, could you say that again?
I believe that Fabric is not kind of the main topic of this working group.
Mm-hmm.
I'm somehow the guest speaker today.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, we take a high level view of what's going on in the community and we invite speakers. So yeah, thanks so much for joining us today.
That's a pleasure.
I'm Michael Herman. I can maybe just say a word because I don't recognize anybody's name. I guess probably for more than a year, I haven't been on this call or actually any Hyperledger calls. So I'm just popping in to kind of see what's going on.
Welcome back, Michael. We're glad you're on the call. All right. Thanks all for the introductions. Announcements for the call today. We will not have our call at the regularly scheduled time 2 weeks from today because of the holidays. And so our next meeting for this call will be January 12th in 4 weeks. And then there's also a link to BCGov Code With Us opportunities, mainly centered around transitioning to the Indie Areas shared components, eliminating the Indie SDK. So if you are interested or know anybody interested in any of those, feel free to spread the word. All right. So any other announcements before we jump in? All right, now we will move into the working group updates for today. Let's see, in the main identity working group last met in August, so we've reported on them before. The Indie Contributors working group, we met on the 6th, and on the Sovereign Node build, there has been some good progress. The Indie test automation is still failing on some tests, but getting much closer, and that's still a great milestone to have hit. We heard about a plan for the Indie CLI, which is one of the steps in eliminating the Indie SDK, and it sounds like a new Python repo to recreate the Indie CLI is the path forward for that for now. And then on the transition of Indie Node from RC to final, lots of blockers getting the environment set up, but moving forward towards branch comparisons and getting that settled there. So that's mainly what's been going on in the Indie Contributors Working Group. Let's see, in the Aries working group, anybody attend this one?
No. So yeah, I was there.
Okay, great. Do you want to give an update?
Yeah, sure. Yes, we had an interesting conversation about fully qualified DIDs and what DID method they actually are associated to, or sorry, which unqualified DIDs a DID method is associated to. Is it DID peer? Is it DID solve? Those kinds of things. So we're going to have a further discussion on using fully qualified DIDs. The ask right now is getting a status of each of the Aries products and what they do or don't do with fully qualified DIDs. And then the second topic was on AIP3, and there's a link there. I think that's to a HackMD document that Sam Curran has been working on, which kind of lays out what a potential AIP 3.0 looks like, mostly DIDCOM V2 with a few additions.
Sounds good.
Yeah,
thanks for that update. That's really interesting. All right. Bifold user group. Anybody attend this one? They've got some recent work items listed there. And the meeting page, if you're interested in looking into that more. Let's see, the ACAPI, Aries Cloud Agent Python user group. Anybody attend this one?
Yeah, I was at that one as well. We actually spent, I think, the entire time pretty much talking about persistent queues for the mediator, which is sort of the second bullet there. And that link to the drawing does lay out, it's being worked on sort of by Stephen Curran, like constantly right now. I've even seen updates since that meeting. There is a number of topics that we had planned for next time, but I think that group is also, we're also at, like most of these other groups, even the Aries, it's all taking a break over the holidays as well. So we're all going to kick off again later. Sounds actually, I think good. The Aries group is meeting next week. Sorry, for one more time.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know. Yeah, that sounded like an interesting ACAPUC meeting. I had to miss it, but I want to catch up on the recording a bit more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lots of good stuff. All right. Aries framework go. Anybody attend this one? See, they've been working on universal wallet enhancements, BDR enhancements, and JWT signing. And then AFJ, anybody attend this one last week? So looks like they talked about DIDCOM V2 and issue credential, JSON-LD and 030 release. And they also did some knowledge sharing about the test harness back channel. Testing.
The only thing, I don't know if it came up in the AFG meeting, came up in one of the, I think it was in the Aries meeting, that Animo had put together a pull request for BLE and some advanced chat or something like that. And Sam Curran was extremely excited about it.
I'm still excited, Kyle.
Barely contain himself. Yeah.
Clearly, yeah, that's great. Good to hear.
Did you look at that yet, Sam?
I just briefly at the PR, but I'm a less of an expert. I only know enough BLE to get myself in trouble.
Yeah.
And so I did look more deeply at their design, which they had done previous to this, and was very well thought out and very organized. And I was bummed that at the time they didn't have the bandwidth to actually implement it. So like, yeah. That's it. I don't need anything else for Christmas. I'm good.
That's great. Exciting news. Okay, cool. Hyperledger Ursa. Let's see. They met last week. Had a short meeting. They've extended an open invitation for a maintainer or a contributor to take over running the call. So if you know someone who might be interested in that, feel free to spread the word. All right. And then our last Hyperledger group is Hyperledger Anon Creds. Anybody attend this one? All right.
I did, but I don't have anything intelligent to say about it. It is moving forward.
Okay. That's great to hear. Yeah, based on their working group notes, it looks like they're working on a lot of things, and there's links there if you'd like to learn more. All right, those are our Hyperledger groups. Moving on to the Trust Over IP Foundation. Looks like the last all members meeting was still in October, but the steering committee met recently. Kyle, did you go to that one?
Well, actually, there was an all members meeting yesterday.
Oh, okay. That's probably why.
Yeah. It was a holiday party, actually, where everybody wore a funny hat and a sweater, and we went through some Christmas trivia things. Yes, it was quite fun.
That's great.
Yeah.
Nice. That does sound like a lot of fun. Let's see. In the steering committee, it looks like they met last week on the 7th. Not too many notes on that page, but there's the recording if anybody wants to watch that. The, let's see, communications committee, as far as I could tell, this was their last meeting in early November. But let me know if there are have been more recent meetings since then. And then governance stack working group, anybody attend this one?
Is that Trust Over IP? No,
yes. Never mind. Yeah.
I didn't.
All good. Looks like they had an update on developments in the technology stack working group and how it relates to the governance stack working group. They covered progress in the technology architecture task force and the trust registry task force and how they affect the governance stack working group. There's growing recognition of the role of trust registries. Looks like was a main point there. And then they also had a report from the governance architecture task force. Looks like a top priority is credential lifecycle governance. And then machine readable governance is also a strong area of interest. So lots happening there. How about the technology stack working group? Anybody attend that one? Looks like they also mainly got task force reports from the technology architecture task force. There's a blog coming out on the Trust Over IP trust spanning protocol, and then from the trust registry task force as well. It sounds like there's a TRP DIF collaboration that has been approved and is moving forward. So that's exciting to hear about. The Utility Foundry group still on a hiatus, as far as I know. How about the Ecosystem Foundry group? Anybody involved in this one? Looks like they mainly talked about Identidad, which is a digital trust ecosystem for farm worker services. And then the concepts and terminology working group. Anybody involved in this one? Looks like they talked about the game plan for the Trust Over IP technology architecture, V1 specification glossary. All right, moving on to the DIF. Sam, do you want to give updates on these first two?
Sure. This was the week for the DIDCOM users group, and it was we had some really cool conversation. One was a libp2p transport extension for DIDCOM, and we had some conversations of rich chat as well, which is going to lead to a presentation, ironically, in the Ares working group, kind of about the status of some efforts that have been going on there. So it was a really, really good conversation in the users group this week.
Great. Yeah, thanks for that report. Let's see, in the DIF interoperability group, They met yesterday and had a presentation from Sharon Liu talking about Jobs for the Future Foundation and a discussion of that for most of the call. All right. Let's see, W3C. Is anybody aware of any updates from the DID Working Group or the Community Credentials Group? All right, and before we hand it over to Dominic, any other working group updates in general? All right, well, thanks everybody for jumping in with updates. I'll hand it off to you, Dominic, for your presentation.
Thank you, Char. So let me share the screen and please confirm if you can see anything. Can I see the slide?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So again, thank you for inviting me to this meeting. Today I'm going to tell you a bit about the two projects that we did for our clients from the accounting, tax, and advisory sector. Both projects are quite similar because they are about building the solution to handle the referrals, and both are blockchain based, built on top of Hyperledger Fabric. So here is the short agenda. I already introduced myself, so I will not do this again. Then I'm going to present you the context of this industry and what scale are we talking about, what scale of business, what type of business. Then I will guide you through the business cases that we had to solve with those clients, how we did that, and some sort of summary at the end. So we are talking about the audit, tax, and accounting domains. Both companies that will be discussed today are in the top 10 of the of those global companies that that do this kind of business. I can disclose the name only on the of the one company. It's the HLB International. So HLB is a global network of independent advisory and accounting firms. They operate in around 150 countries at the moment, have more than 30,000 employees. And what's important, and what's also kind of quite similar to the other company that I need to keep in the secret, they operate as kind of each branch in each country operates as a separate organization. So it means that there is a network of companies that work under umbrella of one brand. The majority of this of those member firms are led by partners and have a very high degree of autonomy. However, they need to align their kind of core strategy to the strategy of the kind of the global brand. What's also important is that the IT maturity of the branches is very different. So we have the small kind of small branches in some kind of African countries that that have unsophisticated tools and IT systems, and we have also the big kind of several 1,000 people employed by the biggest branches, like in the US or in the big European countries. So there is no integration of systems between the those member firms. And all the client kind of relationships with the member firms are formalized in engagement letters, statements of work, and the member companies are supposed to sign one inter-firm agreement to kind of to handle and to coordinate the business and the shared work between the respective member firms companies. So it's quite common that considering this kind of international type of business that they do, it's quite common that the let's say entity from the US can refer some work to the entity in Germany. And there is a rigid process behind that because if the client is closed, the deal is won, there should be some fee that should be paid for the company that refers the clients to the branch that actually closed the deal. So in other words, all the referred work, inbound and unbound, is subject to referral fees. As I said, those interfirm agreements need to be in place for the kind of shared work. In this setup, there is usually one company per country, but there are some kind of exceptions. And the process is that these fees are kind of based on the estimated value of the deal. Of course, the final kind of final fee should be based on the value of the invoices that that are issued to the clients. So when the final client pays the invoices, the fees should be the referral fees should be also paid to the branch, to the member firm that that referred the clients. And usually the process that we are talking about, the number of the value of this referred work may approach $200 million per year. So for each of the clients. So we are talking about a very big amount of work that needs to be done by the specialized department. Let's say it's usually the kind of the some kind of dedicated office in the headquarters that handles those referral fees, that calculates the amounts, that needs to also settle the disputes between the member firms. And as so, our client said, it may take kind of 1 month for a group of 5-6 people to kind of to handle only this process in a manual way. So the challenge that we had to face actually with both clients was that there was actually lack of visibility due to the kind of non-integrated system that that were used on the flow of these contracts, documents, invoices. Lack of integration also did not allow to assess the financial kind of risk and exposure of the member companies. Since we are talking about quite kind of traditional and quite regulated business that really takes care about the compliance, they'd like all the data that's collected and related to the to these referrals to be stored and compliant in a secure way. And of course, with the amount of the value of the invoices, amount of invoices, amount of manual work that needed. It's quite evident that this setup doesn't scale well. So there was a need to kind of to introduce some IT solution to at least facilitate and streamline the process. So here we may summarize that we face the issue of scalability, of data protection, of security, latency, also systems integration and data integrity. So the first business case is the first deployment that we did was for HLB International. So actually they were handling the referrals between the member companies in a manual way. Here we have a diagram of the statuses that each referral can have. So starting from the kind of from the initial state in which the there is a new referral coming in, and it can be either accepted or declined by the other company. Then, if the deal is won, the invoicing starts, and the intention of the client was to be able to record every single kind of billing event that relates to the particular project. Particular case. And still this company, HLB, they had, before we introduced that the solution, they have to do everything in the manual way. They have to handle the disputes, to the settlements using Excel files and so on. So basically there was no single space in which the data about the referrals was stored in the trustworthy way and in a way that was kind of considered secure and reliable for all the users kind of being engaged in the project, in that process. The only kind of common space that that is used by the employees of HLB is their kind of intranet, which is run on SharePoint, and that's why we decided together with the client to use SharePoint as a kind of entry point in which the there is an interface that could allow users to store the information about the new referrals, to accept the referrals or to decline them, and if the referral turns into the deal, which is closed, also to add the information about new invoices that that are issued and paid by the client. I'm not going to read that that slide. I know it's recorded, so everyone will be able to check what's kind of how it works now. Just to summarize, with HLB, we are able to digitize particular use cases. So sending a referral, accepting the referral, declining that, either contacting the client, and if the receiving company contacts the client and sets the status contacted, it's also reflected in the SharePoint application, and it's also reflected on the blockchain. When the work is accepted, also there is an interface in the SharePoint graphical user interface in some widget, and all that information is also stored on the blockchain. And last but not least, the billing rows. So the receiving company, I mean the receiving, so the company that received the referral and converted it to the client. So receiving company adds the bidding flow and also may update the bidding flows. All that information now is stored on the blockchain because we connected this front end provided by the SharePoint with the blockchain-based kind of decentralized storage. For the users that that are using that process, they actually do not or they don't have to know that the and that there is a blockchain kind of in the background. But for the companies, knowing that Hyperledger Fabric technology and blockchain network is used is another kind of factor that increases the trust and kind of makes the process more also more transparent. To build that project, we of course had to integrate with Microsoft-based application, which is SharePoint. But to build the backend that talks to the SharePoint app, we used Java. We also kind of use the Docker for the deployment purposes of the network, and we've been using Hyperledger Fabric as this blockchain kind of permissioned network that can be also kind of rolled out to the new kind of peers, new member companies, because for now we are kind of within that implementation, only the selected amount of member firms are having their own peers in the network. Another business case that we built for the other company, which is even bigger than HLB in terms of employees and countries served, is the project that was supposed to not only record the events related to the referrals, but also track the data related to the agreements, to the engagement letters, statement of work, and financial information. Also, the assumption was that we shouldn't store the data on the blockchain, but store only the hash values. Also, due to the GDPR and kind of compliance regulations, we also had to be able to retrieve the data from legacy sources. Most of the information about the referred work that's stored by that company was stored in the Excel files. So we also had to somehow normalize and clean the Excel files before even trying to store some data on the blockchain. In this project, we also had to build the front-end part totally from scratch because the intention of the client was to set up totally new application just to handle the referrals. So not using kind of the intranet, not using any kind of general application, but to use only to use something new and to also to try to convince users to make it, maybe introduce that change into the company by letting to use some new fancy tool. Also, the system was supposed to be accessible from different devices, not only from the laptop computer. So settlements in that project work in a way that users are have the accounts in the system that are able to upload the Excel files that contain the information about the work referred in the past, and also some type of financial information that lets the system connect the invoice information with particular projects and clients, and therefore to bind by the fee, the value of the invoices with particular clients and particular referring company, and in this way to calculate the referral fees. In case of HLB, the fee is fixed. In case of the other company that I'm talking about now, the referral fees may differ. So we not only build the system to clean the data, to normalize the data, but also to visualize, for instance, different kind of relations between the countries or the branches that refer the work to each other. So if the Swiss entity refers the work to the French one, we can see this kind of diagrams that show the value, show different type of services that were referred, and many other characteristics. It's worth noting that this project was built in phases. So the phase one was just building the technical kind of proof of concept, which involved checking and proving that the initial assumptions of the project was could actually work. And the second phase focused on users and developing the application in terms of usability for users, analytics, data import, and validation of imported values. So the goal of the system was to kind of to gather and process information from different entities around the world, and each of them being both on the giving and the receiving end of data. So that's another kind of visualization of the interface. It may be looking quite scary, but it's kind of something that the users expected, and they are kind of used to work with this type of interfaces. In that project, we are supposed to build the entire solution, kind of so also front end and back end. So for the web-based application, we chose React.js. Node.js was used on the backend side. We've been using Postgres as a kind of database here. For queuing, we used RabbitMQ. And again, Hyper-V Fabric was used as the framework to build the blockchain network. So if I would have to summarize the HLB project, the most important result was for us that we were able to integrate kind of closed source solution, which is SharePoint, which with Hyper-V Fabric, which is the open source. So it is possible to kind of somehow let those two work towards talk to each other. Users could still use the same UI that they were kind of accustomed to. Some work that was previously done manually could be now realized by the manual, by the automated, by the tool that that we introduced. And what's also important, as of today, they were able to process more than 10,000 referrals on the blockchain. So the system went live to the production like in September, and we did quite big import of the of the data to the system to catch up with the historical values and historical referrals, but also they are the new referrals are also added to the system. In case of the second project, we were able to agree on the data kind of model, and we were able to convert different data sources to let them to let the final kind of data, final cleans data, be uploaded on the blockchain. That system now creates the one kind of trusted source of the information on the blockchain, and we also proven that all data is being stored on in one immutable system, so no further work and time needs to be spent to find up-to-date and accurate data version that was uploaded. So that's all regarding the two solutions that Espoo Blockchain built for our clients. Feel free to get in touch with me if you have any questions. I can also try to answer now if there are any.
Thanks so much for the presentation, Dominic. Super interesting to see how this process works, and it's a really interesting use case. I was wondering what happens when the data protection laws are different between the countries of two firms exchanging a referral?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. So we started with Europe, actually, with Europe and the US. So actually the data protection requirements are quite similar here. And for instance, that's why we in the second project that I mentioned, we only wanted to store the hash values. Because for instance, if there is some sensitive information that should be that could be erased from the system, it cannot be kept on the blockchain because blockchain kind of doesn't allow to remove the data. So we had to kind of handle that somehow.
Okay, interesting. I was also wondering, you said the user doesn't have to know that blockchain is what is used in the background. Is this on purpose because of different associations that people might have around blockchain? Or is that a strategic marketing decision?
Actually, it was just kind of to because we usually the technology is used kind of maybe I will formulate that in a different way. So the assumption was that the goal was to use blockchain, but not kind of. Make it as a selling point for the users. It was supposed that using blockchain was the selling point for the member companies for the kind of on the strategic level. So users, they use the system as they were using kind of before, and they are not scared that their blockchain is somewhere there because the interface works the same way, and they don't have to kind of to be trained additionally to be informed that, that blockchain is kind of under the hood. And also, I believe that with many blockchain solutions, that are successful. Users usually don't know that the blockchains, blockchain technology is used. So that's also something that that is considered as a big value from the kind of user experience point of view.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so it's more about what's relevant to the user, I see. Mm-hmm. Thanks for answering my questions.
Thank you, Charlotte. Since there are no questions, I'd like to wish you happy holidays. Merry Christmas. And yeah, let's keep in touch. Stay in touch.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining the call, Dominic. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas to everybody. We'll see you all in 4 weeks because that's when our next working group call is. But yeah, thanks again to everybody who jumped in with working group updates. Thanks again, Dominic, for your presentation. I think I'll call it there.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.